Okay. So I dialed Ben's number and finished eating some cookies before I started recording. All right, so ate the cookies, dialed the number, started the recording. That's the order in which things
happened.
Hey,
how are you?
Hey, Ben Lawrence, how's it going, sir?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. I just finished eating some cookies.
I was just looking at the Apple TV. You know about the Apple TV.
The Apple TV.
The actual box, the physical thing that connects your media to your television set.
Sure.
I have one. It's like a second or third generation Apple TV.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what generation they're on now, but they just released an Apple TV 4K. And the reason I was looking at it is because I subscribe to HBO's streaming service, HBO Now. And
yes.
When HBO Max is released, I think maybe in a couple weeks, I get automatically upgraded. So I want to keep my HBO, but I got a notice on my Apple TV that said HBO is going to discontinue support for second and third gen Apple TVs beginning, coincidentally, on the day HBO Max is released.
Oh,
So
interesting. Funny how that works out.
I know. It is hilarious. So I was thinking about dropping some coin on a new Apple TV, and I was looking at the Apple TV 4K. I don't have a 4K TV, so I don't need one, but might as well get one, right? But they're... maybe sometime in the future I'll get a 4K TV. Maybe sometime in the future I'll care. And
Can I ask you a really quick question?
Sure.
What does the Apple TV do for you exactly?
It's the same, I guess, as your PlayStation, right? It's where all the apps live. So
it's
where I go to get Netflix, Amazon, Prime TV, Hulu if I got it. You know, it's my TV.
Right. The 4K TV that I bought was a Fire TV.
All right, and it probably comes with all that stuff.
All of those apps on it, right? So
I think a lot of TVs these days do have that.
Yeah, so you might want to just get a new TV.
Here's the thing. I don't know what a brand new TV costs these days. The 4K Apple TV is only the 32 gig model is only $30 more than the HD model, and I have an HD TV. Now, here's my question to you.
Mm-hmm.
They sell a 32 gig and a 64 gig version of the 4K TV. You don't have an Apple TV, so maybe you don't have an answer for this. I don't have an answer for this, and I do have one. Why do you need hard drive storage on your Apple TV?
It's a streaming box. Maybe if you want to save a program?
What's that?
Like maybe if you have something like the ability to record a program?
I don't know if you do, though. That's
download
the thing.
It. Yeah. Like for instance, I'm just thinking about my Apple phone, right?
Yeah.
On my phone, the apps that I have, like, for example, Prime Video, gives me the option to offload it, or to download, sorry.
Right.
To download a program. Maybe it's similar to that. Like, I'm not going to have my internet connection for a while, but I can bring my Apple TV to Grandma and Grandpa's house.
Maybe.
Or whatever.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm just, right now, I mean, granted, I've only started looking into this in the last, 7 minutes when I was waiting for you to call. So I have not done a lot of research, granted. But,
Can you hear Edward just totally freaking out?
I did not.
He's freaking out upstairs. I'm sure the listeners might be able to hear it on the microphone.
Possibly.
So,
how are you doing?
good. I don't know how distracting it will be. That's the only thing I was concerned about. I'm doing okay. As you noted, I had been on Twitter for the longest time I'd been on for a while.
Yeah. I think you sent a record.
When the lockdown started, I was like, well, this is going to be the way that I interact with the outside world now. And so, you know, I signed on. I don't know how long I'm going to be off for right now, but it was just one of those things of Jennifer and I were having a conversation. And whenever she would talk, I would look at her and then I'd go right back to my phone. I'd go, oh, that's interesting. I'd go right back to my phone. And at some point in time, I don't know if you remember, I think it was the Monty Python sketch where a guy had a microphone and he would put the microphone to the person's face when they were talking and then move it back to him when he was talking. And then eventually it got switched.
Right.
So that the so in the same way, eventually I was looking at my phone when she was talking, and then would just look up when she stopped talking, and like it seemed not good, so I stopped again.
Did you make that? Did you notice that behavior yourself, or was it pointed out to you?
I think I noticed it myself. Although she did earlier make the statement that I was on my phone all the time.
Yeah.
Earlier, like, when I say earlier, like a couple of days before. And I think she just sort of gave up at that point. So we'll see how it goes. Because, yeah, the world is a vampire, Ben. Set to drain. I don't know if you're familiar.
I've heard the stories of yore.
The big thing is there's nothing good that I'm learning these days. I just keep on looking at like numbers of cases and oh, these people in this place did something stupid and you know that sort of thing. Interestingly, Ben.
Yes, sir.
It actually has come to roost in my own Dungeons and Dragons group.
Really?
Several members are like, we should meet in secret and play Dungeons and Dragons.
I gotcha. Yeah. I'm sure you are the luckily, one dissenter in that.
I am a dissenter in that.
Okay.
I think it went to the guy that there was one guy who said, I've seen three studies that say that this isn't as bad as people think it is. We need to get back to normal. To which I replied, I'm of the exact opposite opinion. I don't want to see anyone else ever.
But that's just me.
But we've put it down that early June we might look into playing. But in the back of my head, I'm like, no. The thing is, and this is the important part, the other dissenter is the person whose house we normally play at.
Oh, okay.
And it's like you guys, you know, don't say, hey, because it's his house.
Yeah.
It's his house.
Well, I mean, and he has agency to say, no, don't come over.
Right, exactly. That's the thing. You know, why are we even having this conversation?
Yeah.
Basically. And he comes into contact with immune compromised people often. He's not interested
that's probably safe.
Anything. So yeah. But still, it's one of these things of I also, as you know, I don't talk about work that much, but this is a non-identifying work thing. We were on a conference call. So you now know that I work somewhere
that has
where
a
there
phone.
Are conference calls. And there was a person I was working with who said, okay, so I live in Illinois. Right across the river, as you know, is St. Louis and other places in Missouri.
Yeah.
Missouri, not as strict rules as they have in Illinois. And he said, I'm really looking forward to this weekend going to a restaurant on the Missouri side that's open. It'll be nice just to have an actual normal life again.
Right.
And somebody else on the call said, oh yeah, I was also thinking about doing that. I hear that they're doing social distancing, like they're moving the tables far apart and the servers are wearing masks and things. And so it's like, okay, it's a half and half thing. But I was worried about it. So when I got off of the call, I looked, and the first news article about this place opening was restaurant overrun as too many patrons show up and ignore social distancing rules. And I'm like, all right, so no.
Yeah.
Not doing that.
There's a there's a thing. Yeah. So Washington State, I think democratically led states may have the same thing where they're going to be opening in phases, and these phase-ins have been announced. And
that's right.
Yeah, we're in phase one right now. And they say in phase two, places like retail will be able to open with, you know, social distancing guidelines and limits on the number of people in the stores and all that. And I can't remember if it's phase two or phase three, but in one of these phases, I think it's phase two, actually, they say that salons will be able to open.
Okay, so for us, that's phase three.
Okay. It might be phase three, too. I think, but like, regardless of what phase it is, when that happens, again, the same thing is going to happen. Lines out the door, the place is going to be packed. I'm just going to call it and say I'm not going to be able to get a haircut until like September.
Oh, October. Man. Ben with long hair. I don't know if I remember.
I've never had.
I think I remember the longest your hair has been, and it hasn't been that long.
No, I think in the last 20 years, the longest I ever grew my hair was for a play I did in, I think it was 2003. It was the Cowgirl play produced by Macha Monkey.
Oh, yeah.
And I played a cowboy.
Yeah, I remember the cowgirl play.
Yeah, so I played a cowboy, so I grew my hair.
My wife, Jennifer Pratt.
It did not look good at all. Yeah.
Yeah.
Jennifer was actually in the 12 or the Northwest New Works version, but
that was the one I was thinking of, but yeah. You were in the actual official
version. In the full-length show, I believe Jennifer was either pregnant or had just given birth, and so could not be in the play.
But yeah, that was one of the things that she had a couple of characters that she did that really had impressed me.
That would have been 2006, I guess, if it was when Betty was born, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, Betty was born in 2006. Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Good job, Ben.
2006 or 2007, around then is when I had the longest hair. So.
So anyway. I think if I'm right, so my birthday is May 15th.
Yes, you are right.
So this is going to be the last episode that comes out before my birthday, even though we will record another episode before my birthday.
Correct.
If that makes sense.
Yeah.
So pretty exciting. So I will tell you in this episode, I wasn't sure if I was going to do it or not. Do you remember that I made a sport at one time?
You made a what?
A sport?
You made a sport.
Yes, an outdoor sport.
I do not remember that.
It was called Thwapstack. And
still don't remember.
The basic idea is you have two spaces that have a dividing line in between them. And in these spaces, you have six items that you're supposed to assemble. Like you can either stack them, put some in front, you know, so on and so forth, and you kind of bowl or throw or do whatever with these balls that you create by wrapping large amounts of tape over a core. The balls are made ahead of time, but you spend as long as you want to balancing these items, and then you both take turns trying to knock the items over.
So this isn't just like a game you can just pick up in the park. You have to prepare for one of these games.
Right, right. Well, you have to make a set.
Yeah.
Basically. And the plan that I have for my birthday is to actually construct one of these sets and actually play a game. I'm pretty excited.
You should film it.
Yeah. Yeah, we should film it. I was gonna play against Betty, so Jennifer could film it. That would be good.
Yeah.
But yeah, the do you remember when I was making tape balls?
No.
I was on a ADHD medication that one of the things that I started doing was encasing things in tape.
Is that how you dealt with the side effects of the medication? Why?
Exactly. I wasn't sleeping that much, and I was doing a lot of that. And so one of the things that I did was, in order to explain it away, I said, well, it's for this sport that I've made up. And I made up the rules of the sport to support this habit of encasing things in balls of tape. But now I'm not on any medication. But I found the rules and everything, and I'm like, you know what? I'm just going to do this. I've already had to alter some of the rules a little bit. Like, one of it was that the areas that you need to build these things on had to be square.
Yeah.
I've taken away that rule, and I've just put that they have to fit a certain dimension. And the other thing that's great is that the things that you stack, they can be anything. They just have to fit within a certain parameter, I guess. And so the idea is that you pick six things and I pick six things, and then we flip a coin
out of a pile of things.
And well, that's the thing. I'm sorry. You bring six things. I bring six things. And then, yeah, we flip a coin, and then we alternate like a white elephant sale picking, the things. So you could, for example, put some really horrible things in there. Like a very fragile vase or something like that.
Yeah.
A thing made out of paper. So on and so forth. It's all about strategy and skill. Oh, and I forgot to say, the other big thing. So you have the center line, and then after the center line, there are these things called drop zones. And the idea is that your ball has to land in the drop zone before it can hit any of the things, right? So you can't pitch a thing directly at the stack. You have to, you can throw it, but it has to hit the ground before it actually hits the stack. That's the basic
like
rule.
Tennis, the ball has to hit the floor first.
Exactly.
So wait, you've got these six things, and they're stacked on top of each other?
Well, that's the thing, is you can stack them on top of each other. You could theoretically like build a wall with four things with another thing behind it. You could stack them all
and
up as, yeah.
With the ball, is the intent to knock said stack over or just to touch it?
Oh, your goal is to, okay, so the pins, I forget what they're called. They're not pins. They're something else. Blocks, I think. Are considered in play if they're straight up and down. If they're knocked over, then they're out of play, right? So your job, your plan is to knock them all over, basically.
And your things are sitting on top of these blocks?
Yes. That's right.
All
right. But the things, right, are the blocks. The six things that you bring in.
So what if I bring something that can't be knocked over?
Well, there are rules for what the things are. They have to have they have to be longer than they are. They have to be taller than they are wide. And you have the base, which has to be within a certain size, and then the mesa, which is the top of it.
And who judges whether or not the items are legal?
There is actually an arbitrator, and there's a difference between casual play and tournament play. Casual play, you know, you kind of all sort of decide. I mean, there are general rules written in the rule book, which is just a couple of pages, but you know, if you're playing outdoor, which is what we're playing, the base and the mesa have to be within 1 foot or 6 inches in diameter. So it can't be smaller than that, and it can't be larger than that.
It has to be exactly that.
Well, within those parameters. So it could be, you know, you can, for instance, have an item. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. This is very important. Thank you for mentioning it. Well, you know what I mean. It can't be larger than a foot, and it can't be smaller than 6 inches. But you could have, for instance, a cylinder that's a foot around, or a cylinder that's 6 inches around. But you can't have something that's a foot and then 2 inches.
So I can't put, like, my car keys. Because...
Right, your car key wouldn't work in the... especially your car key wouldn't work in the outdoor version. Now, there's a tabletop version. And depending on the dimensions of your car key, I'm guessing that it wouldn't work. But if you had an electronic car key, it might work.
Well, I'm thinking I'm thinking of a whole key ring.
Okay, yeah. See, you'd run into problems because it's not a solid object. The keys, you know, can move individually.
So the thing you bring has to be a solid object, no smaller than 6 inches at the base, no larger than a foot at the base, a foot in diameter.
Yep. Diameter. Yes, that is correct.
All right. So we're okay. And you line these up.
So, like, for instance,
how?
A waste paper basket? Well, that's the thing, is that the only stipulation is it has to fit within the square, basically, and that you put them in.
So where are the squares on the playing field?
That's the thing, is that the squares are placed equidistant to each other and in parallel, if that makes sense. So, basically... You figure out where you put your squares, and you line them up so that they're the same. And then you put a center line between the two, and then two other lines for the drop zones. So the field can be... I mean, there again, I wish I had the instructions. I didn't think about talking about this when I first started. Is there rules that it can't be, you know, more than a certain length away from each other? But it is the main thing is that... like, if you're taking a record of the game, you mention how big everything is and how far apart things were and stuff like that. So each game is a little different, depending. But, for example, for the thing I'm building, the areas where you set up your stacks are carpet squares that I bought.
So you're going to...
Your big rule...
Yeah.
Yeah, go ahead.
I was just going to ask, so you're going to build one of these and play it on your birthday?
That's my plan, yeah. I'm going to have to... The building of it might take a little bit longer. That's the thing I am concerned about. I forget how long it takes to actually construct the balls. One of the reasons I put if you find the original rules I wrote, it's all tape. But I put the idea of the core in there. Because then you don't have to wrap as much tape around to make the ball. And the thing is, the ball is a, you know, you put it in quotes, right? Because it could be a little wobbly. It could be oblong. They're irregular shapes, which change a little bit of the dynamic.
So what kind of tape is it? Is it like packing tape, gaff tape, masking tape?
Oh, yeah. So there are three different styles. There's outdoor, right? And outdoor, you use the standard silver duct tape. There's indoor, in which case you use electric. Oh, and the core for the outdoor can't be bigger than a tennis ball. So it's anything that can fit inside a tennis ball you can have as the core for your ball. And for indoor...
Like a cherry
it's,
bomb.
Yeah, you could put a cherry bomb in there. Yeah. For your indoor, it's electrical tape, and for tabletop, it's Scotch invisible tape, and the core is no bigger than a marble. For indoor, the core is no bigger than a golf ball. And then, yeah, you just wrap the tape, and you keep on wrapping until it's a ball shape. And that maybe takes the longest, probably.
Well, I mean, to answer your first question, no, I don't remember you coming up with this game oh so many years ago.
Okay. Yeah. You remember Chris, who worked at Groupie with me? I'm not going to say his last name just in case he doesn't want.
I do not remember. There's only one coworker of yours from Groupie that I know.
Yeah, that's Chris.
No. I'm thinking of Boaz.
Oh, you know Chris. Chris hung out with us every once in a while. I won't describe him. I won't do anything, but there's a guy, and maybe after the podcast I'll tell you more about him.
Okay.
But I don't know. I got sensitive recently when I forget that there are some people who don't want to be famous. I'm not really wanting to be famous anymore, but I'm not shy about people knowing who I am. But there are some people that don't like it. And I'm starting to try to respect that.
And Chris is one of these people?
I don't know. I haven't talked to him in a really long time, so I don't know.
So why did you bring him up?
Oh, because he and I started the North American Thwapstack League on when I was working for Groupie, whose name I've never said before, probably, but their pages are defunct now. That's what I was going to say. We made the whole thing. One of the other reasons why I made this was because we had to make all these fake communities.
Yeah.
To test out our products. So that was one of them. And if you look up Thwapstack right now on Google, you will still get a result because a website crawler found North American Thwapstack League, NATL, and has it listed in their list of anagrams. So it's still a result.
How do you spell
But the page
Thwapstack.
Say again.
How do you
Thwapstack.
Is that one word or two?
All one word. And yeah, the whole reason I was thinking about it actually was I was reminiscing about Camp Tomato. Do you remember Camp Tomato?
I do not.
Seattle musician Jason Webley.
I do.
Or a musician who at least lived in Seattle for a while.
Apparently I went to college with the guy, but I don't remember that.
Really? Interesting. Well, he had this thing that he would do called Camp Tomato where a whole bunch of people would show up to a park and there were games and little not rituals, sort of rituals, like oaths that you would take.
Okay.
And you were divided into groups and stuff like that. And I found out that someone had recorded the one that Betty and I attended in 2011. When she was just, as we've established, around 5 years old. 5 years old.
Yeah.
And it was really fun. And I kind of missed it. And I realized that Thwapstack, nothing that they do there compares to it, but it still has that sense of fun of making something. That's the thing, is you don't buy a Thwapstack set, you create it yourself. And anyone can make it if they have tape.
So there's only, you have to buy the tape. But, you know, you don't buy it from the board game shelves at your local Target. You create it yourself.
That's right. Yeah. And each set is unique and different. It's sort of like marbles, too. If you have, the way the tournament works is if you play the tournament, the person who eventually wins gets the ball that the other person had. And they're, the person that loses becomes the judge for the next tournament. And then the tournament is actually really interesting because the way that's set up, at the very end of the very last game of the tournament, the person who lost the most goes up against the person who won the most.
That doesn't seem
which
fair.
Which I think, yeah, it really does ratchet up the tension though. Oh, and the one thing I forgot to mention also is that there is danger built into the game. As you know, the drop zone is a place where the ball needs to drop before it can hit your stack. You are allowed to go into the drop zone all the way up to the center line if you want to. And I think I've described these balls enough to... They're really heavy, and they would hurt. If you can imagine, let's say, Jason Kovacs throwing a huge ball made out of duct tape at you as hard as he could, you're going to maybe get an injury of some kind.
Right.
But if you wanted to, you could... You know, there's nothing in the rules that say you can't wear a suit of armor, for example, or anything like that. You could stand in the zone and block the ball as it's coming at your stack.
But what if you knock the thing over yourself?
Oh, well, there are all sorts of contingency rules.
Can you score against
if you knock
yourself?
It over? Yeah, I mean, it doesn't matter how it got knocked down, right? The same way, center line penalty, right, happens when your foot goes over, when your foot lands over the center line. So you could theoretically stand on the center line, grab someone, and throw them over the line onto your side, and then they would lose.
This game is getting more physical by the minute.
Well, that's the thing, is that you have a lot of variations.
So when you play, are you going to be throwing Betty over the center line?
I might, depending how well she does. and the other, I'm going to try to play it as nicely as possible.
I noticed that when you're playing a sport, yeah, where your opponent is obviously better than you, they think the game is fun. Yeah. But then when you show some competency, they get serious because they have to win.
Yep, exactly.
I saw that recently in a softball game.
Oh, really? Who do you mind saying who?
I do mind, but I was just going to say I was playing softball recently, and yeah, my team always lost against the other team. And the other team was always like, da-da-da-da, fun, whatever the rules are, blah, 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 we're having fun, isn't this fun, we're joking around. And then when we started winning, like the last time we played, when we started winning, they lost all humor and became serious.
Oh,
it
no.
It was quite the and in so much that like the other team was telling me, because I was the captain of my team, to switch players because I obviously put like the best players in the most important positions and like the not so best players where they didn't really need to be. And yeah, I was asked to like switch it up a bit. And you know, I'm a nice guy. I'm an easygoing guy. I didn't want to throw it back in their face that's what they do to us all the time. And that's why we are 0-20 against them.
Yeah. Yeah. Did you move players around though?
Briefly.
Yeah. So
it was a weird mix of congeniality and competitiveness.
That is the one thing that was good about being on the C team at basketball. All of the kids who are on the C team, it's the worst team. I was known as the oldest kid ever to never graduate from the C team. I think I did actually get on the B team and then I quit.
I don't mean to laugh at you, but I've never played organized sports in school, so.
Yeah. Oh, it's not bad.
Never even got on the C team.
If you're at all competent in the sport, which I wasn't, you got to understand also that this was a parochial grade school team. There were kids who went from this team to try, it goes all the way up to eighth grade, right?
Yeah.
And they were the best players on the team. And then they were not good when they got to high school. Now, I will say that my brother Dan, actually was on the high school basketball team still and was competent, which is saying a lot for his actual prowess. Me, not so much. But the thing was, we knew that we were bad, and so we didn't care. But we made the adults really mad at us. They didn't like the fact that we were still having fun, even though we were losing.
Adults and ruin every kid's sport.
They made me cry several times by telling me that I shouldn't be, you know, I should feel bad about what I was doing. And then, I don't know if you know this, but when an adult does something like that, all the other kids feel like it's fine to pick on you.
Right. I take it this adult wasn't your parent.
Oh, no. This is a coach of the basketball team. I never got along with any of the coaches on the basketball team, which was too bad because they were also my teachers. And they were mad at me because of what I did in basketball, and sometimes they took it out on me academically, which I didn't like that much.
I did briefly play t-ball and soccer, but it was not for mm-hmm. my school. And this is all in elementary school. But I did play Little League for a different school district because, as I just mentioned, my school didn't have it. So I was fortunate enough to not know any of the other kids on my team. And I was terrible. And so I didn't have to.
You and I are, maybe that's part of the reason why we were drawn to a more physical side of, because we were like, hey, this is something that, I mean, can you imagine? When we were doing that play whose name we would have to censor if we said it.
Yes.
I mean, we put in a lot of physical effort on that.
We did.
And we did great.
Yeah.
So I think that's part of why the dealing with the physical world, with your body and moving around and stuff.
Uh-oh. Did I lose him?
You know,
Paul,
sleeping bag sumo. Hitting things with bats, all that stuff. We're reclaiming a little bit of our lost power, I think. Ben, I got a call terminated.
Just lost service.
He is probably aware of this and probably right now
so I'm gonna calling
me back and talking about how we got disconnected.
Hopefully he's realized.
I thought it was something I said. Oh, no, and I'm getting Ben's voicemail. Which I'm sure he's also talking about. And then I'm going to end and accept.
Hey.
And can you hear me, Ben?
Yeah, I lost service.
Oh, wait, you're on my regular phone. Hold on. Okay, now I can hear you.
I that was on me. My phone just lost service.
Ha ha. It
said no service, and I was hoping it wasn't connected to the whole phone debacle that I've bored everybody with. But
oh, no. Oh yeah. We didn't talk about that on this. Did you by any chance call the?
Oh right.
The place.
No.
I don't know how much you want me to talk about it. I didn't.
It's all on my sister's plan. I'm on my sister's plan now, and she called because it's her account, and apparently a ticket got opened, and they're doing something about it, and I will know more tomorrow. But when I saw that my phone lost service, I briefly had the thought of somebody opening up the box containing my phone and turning it on. And I don't know. I don't think they would be able to.
I mean, that could be it. That might be what happened.
I don't think they would be able to, you know, like turn it on. I ordered it through my phone company, so I don't know how much my phone number is connected. Like, I don't know if my phone company like did something to the SIM card.
And like, I remember when I bought a phone from my phone company, I had to actually replace the SIM card in that phone with the one from the phone that I was changing from.
Yeah.
I don't know if this is the same thing for you.
I have no idea.
But that's how I did it.
But regardless,
sort of a natural breaking point. Let me ask you a question. are there any corrections for this week?
Yes, there are.
Hey, I mentioned this because 20 minutes before the show started, I looked at my wife, Jennifer Pratt, Jennifer Fact Checker, and I said, hey, just so that you know, I'm doing the podcast today at 6. And she was like, oh, no, hopefully you guys will talk about politics so that I don't have to listen to all of it. And I couldn't remember. I thought maybe we talked a whole bunch about politics last time. Did we?
I think it peppered our conversation.
Okay. So, basically, for those of you who don't know, I'm changing it up today, Ben. I'm doing it a different sort of way. So Ben and I, we don't, look up any facts and we don't know what we're going to talk about. And because of that, sometimes we get things wrong. And because we hope that this podcast gets listened to by a whole bunch of people for a long time, we want them to have access to the information that is true about what we're saying, just in case, like, let's say, for instance, search engines go away. The internet goes away, but somehow you're still listening to this. In that case, we've built a thing into the show where in this episode, we're going to correct stuff that we talked about last episode. It doesn't happen all the time, but when it does, it's great because you, the listener, can help us by putting your corrections to us in an email to Ben's email at yahoo.com at gmail.com.
Yep.
And we do have some listeners who contribute, big ups, as they say, to Stephen McCandless, a longtime listener. Some other people, have contributed, but by far the biggest contributor is my friend and my wife, Jennifer Pratt, also known as Jennifer Fact Checker, who has sent us this week's corrections.
Ding! Ding. We were talking last week about your Ranger cookies.
Oh yeah, Ranger cookies. I love them.
And I may have asked the question, how did they get their name?
Oh, you did. That's right.
All right.
And I guessed, but I didn't know.
All right. So here's the rundown on the etymology of Ranger cookies. Ranger cookies are named such because they originated in Texas and were originally known as Texas Ranger cookies.
Oh.
The idea was that they could be made out of a ranger's rations. The basic template was a cowboy cookie, which was made with coffee and creamer, plus oats, chocolate, and nuts. Things found in standard wow. Ranger MREs. Now they are made with flour, oats, eggs, margarine, and whatever else you want to put in them. It is indeed a pantry recipe. The new twist was alternately called a Texas Ranger cookie or Lone Ranger cookie. Unlike Paul's Ranger cookies, most include chocolate chips.
Yeah.
Why don't mine you use do chocolate not. Chips, sir?
It has never been in the cookies that I know as Ranger cookies. basically, my mom made them.
Yeah.
And I love them. They're my favorite cookie that she makes. And yeah, never had chocolate chips in them. For whatever reason.
Number two, and there's only two. This is the second final one. I don't remember us talking about somebody falling from a second floor balcony and not getting hurt.
Oh, I did. Okay, so. I'm remembering a story, and I could be totally wrong about this, of a woman falling and landing on an anthill and getting bitten all over her body. And somehow that saving her?
Yeah.
But that is...
That was a parachute were we, gone wrong.
But were we talking about that? Or is that something that I just
I don't know.
Did in my normal life?
Wait,
well, read the correction. Maybe I'll know what she's talking about.
Oh, okay. I get it.
Okay.
So I cheated and I looked at the show notes from last week's episode.
Oh, okay.
And we were talking about how that dude was wrestling in a mall and jumped from the upper floor into the lower floor.
Okay. Yeah.
All right.
Wrestling.
Yeah.
See, wrestling, falling is unintentional.
All right. So
this guy
number two,
knew exactly what he was doing.
Yeah. Number two. How does the guy falling from a second floor balcony not get hurt? It's actually a technique that I learned to a lesser degree in a movement class. I can explain it to you if you want. It hurts, but if done properly, you will not get injured. Keep it wrong.
Wow.
So have Jennifer teach you how to fall from what would be the second floor. What's that, like 15 feet and not get hurt?
Yeah. And yeah, I will. I'm glad that we aren't telling people on our podcast
right
how to do that.
But this this was higher than 15 feet. I want to feel just looking at the remembering the video. I want to say that it was like 25 to 30 feet. But
yeah, it was pretty high.
Quite
up there.
The distance, because malls are not regular. Like mall floors are not regular. Like you know, floors. Speaking of unintentionally telling people how to do things, there was a screenshot that came out quite a while ago where like a news organization was telling you what cleaners not to combine, because
yeah.
People were combining cleaners and one of them, if you combined, like, I don't even remember what it is, but if you combined them, you got compound that if you put on a cloth you can suffocate people, not suffocate them, but
I know what you're talking about. Chloroform,
yeah. They had a list of, you know, the byproducts of mixing cleaners like bleaches and cleaners and stuff, and one of them was chloroform. So
gotcha.
this news company just accidentally told everybody how to make it.
Ammonia and bleach in a container and then sealed is a urban legend that went around my high school for a while. Like a guy would say, oh yeah, my cousin did it. It gets really hot and then explodes, you know, that kind of thing. I believe that's not true. Don't do it. But yeah. I think what happens is it releases ammonia and bleach release a gas that's poisonous. Maybe it also blows up. I don't know.
There was one instance.
Don't do it.
There was one instance,
everyone,
at an annex retreat. And I actually...
Oh, yeah. I know exactly what you're talking about.
I wasn't at this one. I think this is when I was in Australia. But one company member was cooking. And he had like a bunch of oil in a pan that was bubbling. And like to season, threw in a bunch of pepper.
Yep. Everybody had to leave. I was there for it.
Macing everybody.
Yeah. It was pretty awful. Hey, let's talk really quick about something that's going to be happening this weekend. Would have happened over the weekend. Before I start, have you ever been to Maryland?
I have never been to Maryland.
I also have never been to Maryland. But there is a place in Maryland called Ocean City. Are you familiar with this story?
Nope.
The mayor of Ocean City has said that they are lifting the locals only ban.
Okay.
For Ocean City.
Yeah.
And no one is required to do social distancing. No one's required to wear any PPE or anything like that. Ocean City is open. One of the things that happened when I looked at this story on Twitter were a whole bunch of people from Maryland, and all of them were saying something, the variation of this. If you're going to Ocean City, COVID-19 is the least of your worries. Thanks for making Ocean City sound even less appetizing. Like, everybody from Maryland who was talking about it were saying that it's a nasty place. And I'm not saying that at all. I'm just reporting what I heard other people say. So here's my question. Do you think out-of-towners who would drive to their capital to protest the lockdown would drive to this beacon of freedom to hang out on the open beach or in any of the open amusement parks in 53-degree weather?
Probably not, I'm going to say.
I think they're going to. And so this is great. This was unplanned, but it's the Pollen Ben News Challenge. If there is a news report next week about how Ocean City was overrun with tourists, I win. If it's a big letdown and nothing happens in Ocean City, then Ben wins.
All right.
Ben, there is a rule, though. There is something I need to find out. do we need to have it stipulated that the people were from out of town? Like from out of Maryland, or is it if people from anywhere that if non-residents of Ocean City overrun it, is that good enough?
I don't think there'd be a way to check that. I don't know how many residents of Ocean City there are, but
there's a news article about Ocean City not getting, like, there aren't any hotels available. Restaurants crowded, that kind of thing.
I don't know.
Ocean City overrun by tourists of some kind.
What's the likelihood, though, of Ocean City being an example of American freedom? And so we see pictures.
That's why I think
we see pictures of people with Confederate flags yelling at cops, not wearing masks.
Well, that's the thing, is that I feel like the two things are going to be very close together.
Yeah.
This is, I have a sort of a wild card or a more specific thing. What's going to happen is, in my opinion, I don't know this is true, more people are going to show up than Ocean City thought. And they're going to actually have to close the city or try to. But the people that they've invited are specifically people who don't cotton to that sort of thing. So it is going to end up being a huge problem for Maryland.
I think the more likely story we're going to hear is that 2 to 3 weeks from now, spike in Maryland coastal COVID-19 cases.
Well, and I'm even thinking, you know, if people go there from out of town and then they go back. The other thing I'm concerned about are if people do actually drive up there, where are they staying at hotels? You know, that sort of thing. It could be a problem.
I don't know.
Maybe it's nothing. And we will see in tomorrow's news challenge. Not tomorrow's. Next episode's
week.
News challenge. Speaking about not tomorrow, but next week. Hey, Betty! Betty! She might be sleeping.
You know, we had a coastal city do that recently, too. Seaside.
Which one?
Long Beach. Long Beach, Washington. We're like, we need to have people stop coming here. And what they were complaining about was people who live in the city who have vacation homes in Long Beach.
Oh,
and coming
to
their vacation homes.
Well, that was a problem in New York as well.
Yeah.
I don't remember how many people had died in my county the last time that I talked to you. But it's up to 27 now. And that's, you know, not a huge number. But it is a lot more than there were
and
2 weeks ago.
This is a thing, 27 that you know about.
Yeah, true. Boy, Ben, this might be the yelling for Betty segment that doesn't happen.
That was not meant to be.
She might be sleeping. That's the thing. She's been keeping really odd hours recently.
Well, in that case...
well, here's the thing.
Wouldn't want to wake her
up.
You keep talking.
You keep talking, and I'm going to walk up and see. Going to yell. Oh, hey! Podcast. Are you interested?
I'm sleepy.
She's sleepy. Can you yell, "I'm sleepy," as loud as you can?
No.
Oh, see, listen to that. Okay, I love you, Betty. Go back to sleep. Okay.
And Edward is going crazy.
Yeah. So I think that counts. I really think that counts.
Yeah, you yelled for her. She came. She left.
Yeah. And I don't know if any of that's going to come across on the microphone.
Probably not.
But here's the thing. Edward now is barking whenever Betty talks.
He's just talking
back to
her.
That's the weirdest thing.
They're having a conversation.
Maybe. I don't know. I gotta say also, I don't think I was talking about this last time. I might have. Mordheim, City of the Damned.
Is that a video game?
It's a video game for PS4 that I've been playing. And Ben, I can't believe I'm saying this, but it's true. It is a turn-based game.
A turn-based game.
Yeah, where I have an action, and then the next character in my party has an action, and then the next character, and there's no, I'm not jumping, I'm not moving things around, I'm just moving the character from place to place and picking from a menu the things that they're going to do. And it's really fun.
Well, I'm glad never you like it.
Imagined that I would enjoy a game of this kind, but it really, I'm enjoying it immensely. So that's my game pick of the week.
Blair got Mordheim. A Nintendo Switch, and
wait, what?
Blair got a Nintendo Who? Switch. Blair? And
oh man, that must be pretty hard. You not seeing Blair for this long.
Oh no, I go over to her place.
I see.
And she plays Animal Crossing, but I do not play Animal Crossing. But she also downloaded Mario Kart 8, which when I'm over there, I try to get a couple races in because I like the Mario Kart games.
See, I've never actually played Mario Kart that I know of. I'm pretty positive.
I like it.
I don't have a lot of Nintendo experience.
Yeah.
Personally.
That's the only experience I have. I mean, I had a Nintendo growing up, and I have a Wii, and Mario Kart Wii is like the only game I still play on it if I, you know, break it out. I guess Rock Band. I guess I still play Rock Band every once in a while, but that's more of a party game than it is a standing home alone with a plastic guitar around your neck kind of game.
The weird two different controller schemes for Switch is odd to me. That they aren't symmetrical. That they've...
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. You can buy second controllers that are more symmetrical and more normal.
It's... I mean...
But yeah, the thing that comes with weird. The game is oddly shaped. But Nintendo likes that, you know... They've always been weird when it comes to design. I think that doesn't bother me more than, say, the PlayStation's X... O A B. I'm like, I don't know where X and O are on the keypad.
A B.
Or
no, I
X Y I will plus or square triangle. That's right.
Yeah, triangle, square, X, circle. It's really interesting. There is a learning curve, but once you get it, then it's, you know, pretty pretty intuitive.
I don't like isn't learning the right curves. Word. I don't like learning
Instinctual.
Curves. I like to just know how to do things.
And I really think that the fact that some of their games have the press square twice, now triangle, now circle, now X, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
I think it's specifically to teach you that. I'm closing my eyes. So if we're looking at a clock face, right? Triangle is at noon. Square is at 9 o'clock. X is at 6 o'clock. Circle is at 3 o'clock. I'm pretty positive.
I have no idea.
Yeah, yeah. So that's interesting. I can imagine the controller in front of me. Oh, that's the other great thing. In PSVR, of course, you have the controller in front of you, but it's not the controller. It's a image of the controller mapped to where the actual controller is, which is sort of neat. Oh, and finally, Ben.
Yes, Paul.
Are you familiar with the Measure app that comes with the iPhone?
I am not.
It is a app that you have to download if you have an older generation iPhone, but it is incredible. It uses augmented reality to measure objects.
Really?
Yeah, it's very useful.
I'm wondering if my current iPhone can do that.
What's your iPhone right now? Is it a 5S?
5S, or, yeah.
Or, yeah, maybe.
There's no Measure
maybe.
App.
I have an iPhone.
There's no Measure app that comes with it, but like if I have to download it.
Right, that's what I had to do. I have the 7 and I had to download it.
Yeah.
So it might work.
maybe.
Might work for you.
We'll check it out.
So, and with that, Ben, it looks like we're at the end of another episode. Can you believe it?
I can't. It goes by so quickly.
It's so great to talk to you, as always. I'm glad that you're my friend. You've helped me so many times in my life, Ben. You're a wonderful, wonderful person.
Well, as are you, Paul, and I wish that this wonderful person, as yourself, such as yourself, can keep it wrong.
Yeah, and Ben, I have no doubt that you'll be able to keep it wrong until we speak again, but I'm asking you, please, for the love of all that is holy, keep it wrong.
Keep it wrong, I'll talk to you later. Stay safe.
Oh, yeah, stay safe. Thank you.
All right.
Yep.
Talk to you later.
All right. Talk to you later.
Bye.
Bye. Okay, this time I'm shutting down the phone first, and now I'm shutting down this. Hey, where's my cursor? Oh, there it is. Okay.